Boston Mayor Marty Walsh announced today that the city will proceed to phase three of reopening next Monday. That means that businesses like gyms, movie theaters, museums will be able to reopen. They will be limited to 25% capacity because that is mandated by the state through February 8th. So today at a press conference, the mayor said cautiously that the numbers look better.
Still high, too high for what we for where we want to be right now, but the numbers are definitely, I guess I wouldn't call it a trend, going in the right direction a bit here. East Boston, Dorchester, High Park, and Mattapan still have the highest positivity rates in the city.
So some kind of mixed messages there, and so many other mixed messages. You've got new coronavirus variants that reduce vaccine efficacy, but encouragement that those vaccines will still work, and expansion in the number of state sites that'll deliver them. That'll be 165 next month. Phase two of vaccination starts next week, but federal supply of the vaccine is limited. So are things getting better or worse? Where are we? And what questions do you have about vaccination, spread of the new variants, double masking? Time to ask the doctors. Call us at 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So joining us today to help answer your questions, we have Dr. Helen Boucher, Chief of Infectious Diseases at Tufts Medical Center and a professor at the Tufts University School of Medicine, and Dr. Cassandra Pierre, an infectious disease physician and the Associate Hospital Epidemiologist at Boston Medical Center. Dr. Pierre is also an assistant professor of medicine at the Boston University School of Medicine. Doctors Boucher, Pierre, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I want to get both the read from both of you. Dr. Boucher, I'll start with you. Where are we? Are we turning the corner, still in the thick of it? Things are getting worse. What's your take?
Well, as you pointed out, Tiziana, in some ways, things are a little better. The numbers in the city and the state in terms of new infections, hospitalizations, and deaths are all getting better. That said, they're still very high. And as the mayor pointed out in your little clip there, we still have too much infection around. So we still need to be attentive to the mitigation measures that we know work. That is wearing a mask, keeping our distance, avoiding big crowds, staying home when we're sick, and getting a vaccine when it's offered and it's our turn.
Dr. Pierre, is that your assessment too? Anything you would add or tweak?
I agree. I mean, the numbers are going down, and luckily we don't have any large congregative holidays to look forward to where we may again see smaller in-person gatherings fueling ongoing outbreaks, at least for the next few months. However, I do worry that people might be lulled into a sense of complacency when at the same time we are also all worried about these circulating variants that might be associated with increased transmissibility. So I am concerned about this. And we know that this is a race really for us to achieve community immunity, hopefully with vaccine rollout. So we need to get to that point.
So I just have to note the irony. This is the moment we're in when you have to say, luckily, we don't have anything to look forward to. But it is kind of the moment that we're in, right? So, Dr. Pierre, I'm going to stay with you for a second longer because we did hear Mayor Walsh talk about the fact that East Boston, we just talked about from an environmental justice standpoint just before the break, Dorchester, Hyde Park, Mattapan, highest positivity rates in the city. We know that there has been disproportionate impact on people of color, low-income people. We've known this since March. Why are we still here?
Yeah, I wish you could see me vigorously nodding my head through radio. We've known for quite some time that these are communities that consist of people that make our city run. There are residents of East Boston, all the neighborhoods that you've mentioned, who are on the front lines, but they also live in higher density houses where it's difficult to physically distance from their loved ones. Because they're on the front lines, they're also unable to physically distance from those members of the public who might be infected, knowingly or not, with COVID. And so they're more susceptible. And of course, as we know, those individuals are also more impacted, not just by infection, but by the complications of this disease because of the potential for underlying comorbidities and lack or unequal access to the healthcare system. So we feel like we're rounding maybe a bit of a corner, potentially, those communities are still beset very much so right by COVID, and we see it in our hospital every day.
Phone calls are just streaming right in, so let's get to them. 800-423-8255 to ask your question. We'll start with Megan in Watertown. Megan, go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering if you get your first, you get your first shot, and then when you go to get your second one, whether it's 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, and they don't have it, and you have to wait longer, does that reset? Is it okay if you get it like 6 or 7 weeks later? Thank you.
Wait, Megan, before you go, I'll ask you, is this a situation that you've... Oh, we lost her. So I think the other thing I'll ask then, Dr. Boucher, I'll turn to you on this. I'll add to her question, has that been happening? Or is that just a worry that it could happen? Go ahead.
Yeah, so Tiziana, here in Massachusetts, I'm not aware of any such examples, but we know there have been places in the country that have run into some supply issues. So a couple of things we can say. The vaccines that we have, the two mRNA vaccines, were studied 3 weeks apart for the Pfizer, or two doses, 4 weeks apart for the Moderna. And we would like you to get your second dose as close to that as possible. The CDC did update their recommendations last week, however, and say that it's okay to extend that second dose out to 6 weeks. And really, there's very little risk of having any bad effect of doing that. So again, you know, try to come as close as you can, but if there's a little delay, probably not a big worry.
All right. I'm going to grab another call right away. 800-423-8255. We have Judy on the line from West Newton. Judy, go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering, I'm a registered nurse and I'd like to get back into the field. I've been retired for 5 years and I'm 65. So I feel I need the shot before I resume working. Do I qualify as a healthcare provider in this regard? I'm not actively working. So,
thanks for that question, Judy. Thoughts for her, Dr. Pierre?
I think that's a great question. I don't know what the actual recommendation of the state or the Department of Public Health will be, but we do know that a lot of those mass vaccination sites are welcoming not just healthcare workers at this point, but they're also planning on prioritizing frontline workers. Because Judy sounds like she is imminently planning on re-entering the workforce, I don't see why she wouldn't necessarily qualify to be part of that group. So I think that's an excellent
question. I want to pick up, before we go back to the phones, I'm sorry, Dr. Pierre, was there something else you were saying there?
No, that was it.
Okay, before we go back to the phones, I want to pick up on something I heard you say, Dr. Boucher, that other places we haven't seen supply concerns, other places we hadn't yet. We have heard over the last week or so that there could be concerns that the Commonwealth will not receive sufficient supply. We actually had Dr. Anthony Fauci here on our show yesterday, and we talked with him a little bit about that, and this was a little surprising. He said we might have a supply issue because we might be overprepared. Here he is.
For localities like Boston and a state like Massachusetts, which has done a really good job in being able to put up a structure to be able to vaccinate, indeed, the supply will not meet the demand because you have the capability.
So do you have any concern that we're going to run behind, especially with phase two starting next Monday? I mean, starting tomorrow, people age 75 and older can begin to register to receive their vaccinations.
Right. Well, I think, you know, as always, Dr. Fauci points out a very important issue, and that is that, you know, our team here in Massachusetts has gotten very prepared. And it is possible, right, that as we get into phase two, where the numbers are much larger, we could get to a point where our demand outstrips the supply. I mean, the news that we're hearing from Washington is good and better than it was a few days ago. So I think we need to stay tuned and, you know, just hope that we're able to keep up with it and move through phase two quickly, because that's the ultimate goal, is getting needles in arms and getting as many people vaccinated as safely as we can.
Yes. And to that point, I do want to point out that the Washington Post is reporting that the federal allocation of the vaccine that comes to states is expected to increase by about 16% next week. So there is an increase coming there. I want to go back to the phones, 800-423-8255, to ask your coronavirus question. Let's take Patrick, who's in North Attleboro.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Go. Okay. So say if you go to one of these, you know, one of the state site to sign up to get the shot, okay, and say I'm going to Gillette or something like that. How do I prove that I have comorbidities? You know, is it just an honor system? Do you have to get a letter from a doctor?
Great question, Patrick.
Totally confused about that.
Understood. And let's turn to Dr. Cassandra Pierre about that. And just for listeners, in phase two, first up is comorbidities, and then second up is two or more comorbidities, and then later in the phase is a single comorbidity. I do know that Mary Lou Sutter said yesterday that it's self-attestation. Is that correct, Dr. Pierre? What do we know?
Yes, I think the question is a great one. I think there's going to be a lot of confusion about this, about whether you have to go to your medical records department or somehow find some information or documentation of these underlying conditions that put you at risk. It is true from what we've been hearing that it is self-attestation, so there is a bit of an honor system in play. You know, we've been encouraging individuals who have primary care doctors and relationships to consider getting vaccinated through their primary care sites if they're able to, but if not, to have some kind of printout of their medical records, just in case there is some breakdown in communication or the system, if possible. But that is what we're hearing, that there is a self-attestation in regards to the medical conditions.
And following on to that, we've heard a great deal of discussion over the last week, Dr. Pierre, about public sites that will be available, you know, CVSs and Walgreens and mass sites at Gillette, one in Roxbury, Fenway Park. But are you saying that we can expect, as we become eligible, that our primary care physician will also have vaccines and be able to distribute them?
It depends on where you are and where you get your care from. Certainly at many of the medical centers, including Boston Medical Center and many of the community health centers, there have been prioritizations and allocations made for the vaccine such that people can get their vaccines through their medical providers. And we at BMC have already started to do that with our pilot phase this week. So yes, we intend to provide for our patients, and I believe many other, if not most, other health facilities are planning the same.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got Alex on the line from Brookline. Alex, what's your question?
Hey, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. So say that I'm asymptomatic, but I don't know, and I get the shot. Would that cure? What would that do?
So you mean if you are asymptomatic but actively have COVID-19 when you receive the vaccine?
No, I don't know my status. I don't know if I'm positive or negative, but I'm asymptomatic, and then I get the shot. Would that be like prophylactic, or what would that be? What would that do to me?
Understood. Great. Thank you. And Dr. Boucher, do you have an answer for Alex's question? If one receives a shot while one is asymptomatic?
Right. So Alex, you know, we know that some protection is provided from even the first shot after 1 to 2 weeks, but you're not fully protected. You don't get to that 95% protection from getting sick with COVID until 1 to 2 weeks after the second shot. So it's very, very important that you continue to mask up, wash your hands, keep physical distance, avoid crowds, and don't go to work or school when you're ill, because you still have some risk until at least 1 to 2 weeks after the second shot.
All right, let's grab another one. Christine's on the line from Watertown. Christine, go ahead.
Hi there. Both my parents are 78 years old, and they are dying to come visit my son, who is 2. They haven't seen him in a year because we've been trying to take precautions. They are getting vaccinated currently. My spouse is getting vaccinated as a healthcare worker. I will be vaccinated during phase 2. After that, do you think it's safe for them to come visit and stay in the house? Should we still mask up? Can they be carriers? Or I'm wondering about the variants. I'm just wondering about that situation.
And Christine, I'm rooting for a happy answer for you here.
they are too, believe me.
Yeah. Doctors Boucher, Pierre, who wants to take that one?
I'm happy to start. We've also been having the same kinds of calculations and questions in our household. And I feel like even though we do not know really anything about asymptomatic infection or transmission for individuals who have been vaccinated with either of the mRNA vaccines, we do know that that there is 95% efficacy in terms of symptomatic disease. And so we don't want to, even though we want to compel people to continue to wear masks and physically distance, we want to ensure people know that there are clear benefits beyond just waiting for community immunity for getting these vaccines. So while it's important to have longer conversations about what your risk tolerance level is, because the grandchildren obviously won't be vaccinated, and although they children less than age 10 have a lower risk of infection and then transmission with COVID-19, they still can become infected and also transmit. And 95% efficacy in terms of protection against symptomatic disease is not 100%. Mm. So can they come to visit? Yes. Can they hug their grandchildren? I think that would be perfectly allowable. Can they stay in the house? I think there's a larger conversation that needs to be had there about what the risk tolerance of that family should be. And also understanding that just traveling to see their grandchildren may come, they bring that risk with them. You know, they may become asymptomatically infected. They may transmit infection. As you mentioned, there are variants that are circulating that, you know, might be encountered in travel or in transit that might pose some risk and may hinder the efficacy of that immunity gained with the vaccine. So all of those things need to be considered, but there are some clear benefits. So visiting the children, hugging them, all seeming to be perfectly allowable. But I think we all have to make some considerations about what we need to do beyond that and what will keep our families safe.
So I do want to, we've got just a couple minutes left, and there are a couple of questions that I know have been broadly asked by our listeners, and so I want to ask them here. And one I'm reiterating from the conversation we did have with Dr. Fauci yesterday. Dr. Boucher, he encouraged our listeners to understand that while these new variants may reduce the efficacy of some of the vaccines, not such that those vaccines are not powerful and important, and that you should still get vaccinated when you can. I just want to say, is that what you are telling patients in your community as well?
Yeah, absolutely, Tiziana. And so the data that we have are that the vaccines still will confer efficacy against most of the variants that we've recognized, and that the small decrease in production of antibody that have been observed with some variants are not felt to be anywhere near enough to make the vaccine not effective. So it's very, very important to get that vaccine when it's offered. And you know, the goal is to stamp this thing out so that we won't have to worry about the variants for that much longer.
And another big question that's just making the rounds this week, Dr. Pierre, is this question of double masking. Is it time with these more infectious strains coming from multiple locations to double mask? I have essentially heard various answers that say common sense says yes, but the research doesn't really say yet. What are you telling people about double masking?
Right. So I think it's more than people understand that masking will still clearly work. It, the new variants are not going to be gaining wings or the ability to teleport through surfaces. But
thank God,
we've already invoked Dr. Fauci, who has said that it does seem to make sense to wear more layers. And so people are advocating wearing a surgical mask or a mask, a medical grade mask that can be purchased online or at a retailer underneath a cloth mask. So definitely higher quality masking is recommended at the very least. And it seems to make sense in addition to all of the things that were already discussed, including physical distancing, limiting the amount of people in your pod, and getting that vaccine when you are eligible for it.
And I am mindful, Dr. Pierre, two masks cost more than one mask, and that could be a hardship for some. Do you need to be double masked all the time or only in certain situations?
I think that's a great question. If you're going to be out and about outside, you're not going to be anywhere near individuals. You could probably forego that surgical mask that needs to be discarded at the end of each day and use that reusable cloth mask, hopefully and ideally one that has at least three layers. But if you're at small spaces, indoors, spaces that are poorly ventilated, then additional masking can help. And it's also important to realize that probably beyond two masks, you may have some difficulty breathing and it becomes more uncomfortable. So, I think that's just another consideration, but it does seem like it makes common sense to use more layers.
All right. If we did not get to your question today, listeners, we will do this again. That's Dr. Helen Boucher at Tufts Medical Center and Dr. Cassandra Pierre of Boston Medical Center. Thanks to both of you for being on Ask the Doctors at Radio Boston today.
Thank you.
Great to be here.